Deva Surevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Agyanate Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Shakshun Militam Yena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Nadati Svaparantikam Vandeham Shri Gurun Shri Yudhapara Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shivishakam Vitam Sacha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kancha Nagaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suta Devi Panamami Haripriye Vanchakai Patarupyascha Kripasanubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanipyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gobhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So welcome to today's Bhagavad Gita class. We are now in the 11th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, the Universal Form, text 2. Bhavabhyayau hi bhutanam Bhavabhyayau hi bhutanam Shrutau vishta sumaya Shrutau vistara sumaya Tvata kamala patraksha Mahatmyam api chavyayam Bhavabhyayau hi bhutanam Bhavabhyayau hi bhutanam Shrutau vistara sumaya Tvata kamala patraksha Mahatmyam api chavyayam Mahatmyam api chavyayam Bhavabhyayau hi bhutanam Shrutau vistara sumaya Tvata kamala patraksha Mahatmyam api chavyayam Bhavabhyayau hi bhutanam Shrutau vistara sumaya Tvata kamala patraksha Mahatmyam chapi chavyayam Mahatmyam api chavyayam Mataji? Bhavabhyayau hi bhutanam Shrutau vistara sumaya Tata kamala patraksha Mahatmyam api chavyayam Prapyayahi Bhutanam Shrutau Vishtaraso Maya Tvata Kamala Patraksha Vrapmyama Picha Vyayam Bhava Appearance Apyayao Disappearance He certainly Bhutanam Of all living entities Shrutau Have been heard Vistarasha In detail Maya By me Tvata From you Kamala Patra Aksha O Lotus-Eyed One Mahatmyam Glories Api Also Cha And Avyayam Inexhaustible Translation in Purple by His Divine Grace Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai O Lotus-Eyed One I have heard from you in detail about the appearance and disappearance of every living entity and have realized your inexhaustible glories. Arjuna addressed Lord Krishna as lotus-eyed. Krishna's eyes appear just like the petals of a lotus flower. Out of his joy, for Krishna has assured him in the previous chapter, Aham Krishnasya Jagata Prabhava Palayastata. I am the source of the appearance and disappearance of this entire material manifestation. Arjuna has heard of this from the Lord in detail. Arjuna further knows that in spite of his being the source of all appearances and disappearances, he is aloof from them. As the Lord has said in the 9th chapter, he is all-pervading, yet he is not personally present everywhere. That is the inconceivable opulence of Krishna, which Arjuna admits that he has thoroughly understood. So again the verse. Bhava pyayau hi bhutanam shutau vistarashu maya tvata kamala patraksha mahapmyam apichavyayam O lotus-eyed one, I have heard from you in detail about the appearance and disappearance of every living entity and have realized your inexhaustible glories. So, first of all, before starting this class, I want to admit that today I was very busy and I did not mention during the last couple of days to prepare myself nicely for the class. So therefore, especially I feel now in need of all your blessings that I may be able to say something that is conducive for our realization, for everyone's realization. And I searched out something about realization. Also, which we can read, that Srila Prabhupada said, and it was written in the Back to Godhead magazine. But first I'd like to try and say something that somehow I know about the subject matter. So in this verse, Arjuna, he says that he has heard from Krishna in detail about the appearance and disappearance of all living entities or of all manifestation. But not only this, that he has heard, and hearing, we know, is the one of the most important, most potent aspects in devotional service, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. But now, for example, we are in the Bhakti Bhava classes that we are having now, twice a week in the temple room, in the morning. We are also in the second chapter, where there are several verses where Srila Prabhupada emphasizes or where the Srimad Bhagavatam emphasizes the need to regularly hear. Maybe I can read again these few things. Anyway, it is said there that one moment. Two. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this explained in this part of Srimad Bhagavatam in the second chapter, I forgot exactly which verse it was, maybe 17. How hearing is very important. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, the super soul in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his message, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So here we hear that simply by putting one's heart into hearing the transcendental message, or as it is said here, developing the urge to hear, then from the proper sources, of course, that is in the Srimad Bhagavatam, as mentioned, Srimad Bhagavatam, but in today's evening verse, Arjuna, he hears also from the proper source, from Sri Krishna directly. So it's very important that we hear from the bona fide source. And then what will happen is that if one is a truthful devotee, that means one is sincere and honest, then automatically Sri Krishna will help us to become cleansed from all these misconceptions that we have and attachments to the bodily identification of life. And the next verse, for example, is that by regular attendance of the classes of Srimad Bhagavatam and rendering transcendental devotional service to the pure devotee, the Lord becomes established within the heart as an irrevocable fact. Then another symptom or another benefit of hearing is that as soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and becomes completely happy. So this means by engaging ourselves in transcendental loving devotion and service, pure transcendental loving devotion and service, automatically passion and ignorance will disappear. And also the accompanying symptoms, lust, desire, hankerings, everything will disappear, and the devotee will be established in goodness, which is the stepping stone, basically, to Vishuddha Sattva or Vasudev, the platform on which we can realize Krishna. So now Arjuna, he says here, he mentions the importance of realizing also. He says not only that he has heard from Krishna this knowledge, detailed knowledge about Krishna's opulences, but also he said, but I have realized this. And this is something very important that actually all the world basically needs to know to be the real criteria of knowledge. Real knowledge is eternal and has to be realized. It's not something empiric, speculative knowledge, which is changed every few decades or something. Once I heard somebody giving a class, and this devotee, he was mentioning that when you look in the books, you know, for inventions, the people always invent something new, right? So when you look like 40 years back, what was, you know, completely modern and new at that point, a couple of like maybe 10, 20 years later or even less, is already, you know, nonsense, basically. People already know much more, right? They just discover something, a few more details, a few more intels, by which then the whole theory becomes overthrown, basically. So therefore, the real knowledge actually is lies in realizing the true nature of the material world, but not only the true nature of the material world, also the true nature of our soul, that we are spirit. We need to know matter, we need to know spirit, we need to know God or the source of everything, right? We need to know the different activities and kala, the whole frame in which everything takes place. So therefore Sri Krishna, he spoke for Arjuna's benefit this Srimad Bhagavad Gita, and also Arjuna as representing us, as our role model basically, he helps us to gain a more closer understanding of Krishna. Yeah, so now I would like to read something a little bit, if you don't mind. Because I found some very nice story about the process of realization. I was searching this in the hit list of the Veda based, and this is from one Back to Godhead magazine from April 67. So this was quite in the beginning, and apparently the devotees wrote something about Lord Chaitanya's teachings, and within this article a story is given. The all-attractive features of Lord Krishna, for example, here in today's evening verse, we heard the beautiful lotus eyes, right? So these all-attractive features of Lord Krishna help one attaining Krishna consciousness. And when one is engaged in Krishna consciousness, he can realize the relationship between Krishna and himself. In this connection, the Lord quotes one story from the commentary of Mahabharata, which occurs in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto. The story involves the instruction of Savagya to a poor man who came to Savagya to have his future told. When Savagya saw the horoscope of the poor man, he was at once astonished that the man was so poor, and he said to the poor man, "Oh, why are you so unhappy? I see from your horoscope that you have some hidden treasure left to you by your father." The horoscope, however, states that your father could not disclose this hidden treasure to you because he died in a foreign place. But now you can search out the hidden treasure left by your father and be happy. So this story is cited because the living entity is suffering due to his ignorance of the hidden treasure of the father. The hidden treasure of the father, Krishna, is love of God. In every Vedic literature, the conditioned soul is advised to find that hidden treasure which is known as love of God. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Varaishasavai Ahameva Vidya, a conditioned soul, although he is the son of the wealthiest, the personality of Godhead, does not realize it. Therefore, the Vedic literature is given to him to help him search out his father and his paternal property. Savagya further advises the poor man, "Don't try to dig on the southern side of the house to find the hidden treasure. If you do so, then you will be attacked by a poisonous wasp, and you will be baffled in finding the treasure. The search should be to the eastern side, where there is actual light, which is called devotional service or Krishna consciousness. On the southern side, there is ritualistic performances of the Vedic scripture, and on the western side there is speculative empiric knowledge, and on the northern side there is the yoga system or meditational process of self-realization. If somebody searches for his ultimate goal by the ritualistic process, then he will be baffled. Such a process involves performance of rituals under the guidance of the priest, who takes money in exchange of service. A man thinks he'll be happy by such performance, but actually that will not make him happy. Even if he does gain some result therefrom, it is only temporary and his material distress will continue, so he never becomes happy by such a ritualistic process. The hidden treasure on the northern side is compared with one's self-realization by dint of the meditational process. By the meditational process, even if one attains perfection, he thinks he is one with the Supreme Lord. This merging into the Supreme by the living entity is something like the great serpent swallowing up the smaller serpent. From practical experience, we see sometimes that the big serpent swallows up a smaller serpent, and the merge into the spiritual existence of the Supreme is analogous. The small serpent is therefore searching after perfection, and he is understood to be swallowed by the big serpent. Digging on the western side is compared to the hidden treasure protected by Yakasha. He is the evil spirit that protects hidden treasure. The idea is that hidden treasure can never be delivered by one who asks favor of Yakasha, for attaining the hidden treasure. The result is that he will simply be killed. So the jnanis or the yogis are analogous to the serpent relationship of the meditational process. The speculative process of self-realization or yoga perfection of self-realization is suicidal in this case. Actually, one has to dig for the hidden treasure from the eastern side, which is called devotional service in full Krishna consciousness. That is the perpetual hidden treasure, and when one attains to that achievement, he becomes perpetually rich. One who is poor in devotional service and Krishna consciousness is always in need of material gain. Sometimes he is suffering the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, and sometimes he is baffled. Sometimes he is following the philosophy of monism, and therefore losing his identity, and sometimes he is swallowed up by the big serpent. By giving up all these things and becoming fixed in Krishna consciousness or devotional service to the Lord, he achieves the perfection of life. So I like to read this, I wanted to read this to you, because I found this is also, there are different processes, even from the traditional approach in the Vedic culture of self-realization, but the story clearly tells that the only thing that really will help us to find this treasure of our forgotten relationship with the Lord, with the Supreme Lord Krishna, and help us to love Him again, is ultimately devotion and service. The other things are just either misleading into Brahman realization, the process that the jnanis are following, or into ending into trying to gratify one's senses, for example, the karmakanda part, or also yoga processes, which apparently afford one mystic cities if properly performed. But these mystic cities are also just a more subtle kind of sense gratification. So therefore, this is also misleading. And Srila Prabhupada, in the second chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, he explains that in Srimad Bhagavatam, all these cheating types of religion are kicked out. Why this is referred to as cheating type of religion? Because obviously this is also, the jnanis, the yogis are also transcendentalists, right? At least they come to understand Brahman, or Paramatma feature of the Lord, which are bona fide aspects. But Srila Prabhupada refers in this chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says that this is cheating and misleading because it only awards one temporary results and one does not become free from the cycle of continued rebirth. So even one may gain some heavenly planet, you know, for thousands of years, when one comes back afterwards, and one has to come back, as Krishna clearly states in Bhagavad Gita, maybe the 10,000 years of Lord Chaitanya are already over. Then we are really in trouble in the middle of Kali Yuga, and it's going to decrease even worse. So better not to try to to try to get there and enjoy, rather trying to learning by associating with the great self-realized souls and hearing from them the essence of all knowledge. The essence of all knowledge is devotion and service. And in this way, when we try to mold our lives in such a way that we seek always the association of the devotees, we eat only Krishna Prasadam, and we chant attentively the holy names, and we study the scriptures not only for consuming the scriptures. I figured there's different types in which you can read the scriptures, different attitudes, right? You can also just for relaxing, you know, read something. It's also nice, you know, but it's better if you render devotion and service. Also, the other day, some devotee was telling that if one takes prasadam, you can also enjoy prasadam. And it's not so bad, because after all, it's prasadam. But better if you render prasadam, if you accept prasadam in a service attitude, because then this will be further nourished. And this is actually what we need, right? So this is a little bit about this traditional ways of self-realization and the best of them. And then besides them, one may also Particularly now in the Western or modern world, we may come across so many other so-called processes of self-realization, transcendental meditation, or you know, different paths that are suggested to us. But Srila Prabhupada continuously says that only Krishna is entitled to manufacture a religious process, and not anybody else. It's not that we can ourselves, you know, like we're writing some book or something, it's not that we can say, okay, now this is the potent process of realizing that I'm actually not this body, but I'm the soul. No, this is not the case. The Vedas is very interesting, actually. The Vedas are revealed truth. And in the Vedas, there's different things that are very important. We just had a course of Vedas and Upanishads in the college, and we're discussing a bit about this Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda paths in that relation, to gain a broader understanding of our tradition in the context. And so the Vedas, basically, as far as I understood from what I read and what I heard, they are, how do you say, they are the truth that is revealed through the sages, who themselves were empowered, basically, through their tapasya and special insight. Somehow they were empowered. So then they gave these Vedas down to the people, and these Vedas, they are in the Vedas, the language is very important. The Sanskrit is a obviously a very precise language, and it is said that the words is not different from the substance they express, basically, as you know, and maybe I cannot confer it completely, but anyway, the idea is there that this is revealed truth, basically. Therefore Veda means knowledge, and this truth is revealed to Mama. First of all, the first created living entity, after he practiced severe tapasya for, I think, 1,000 years of the demigods or something. So really long time. And first of all, before Lord Brahma started to do this tapas, he tried to figure out himself, okay, but what is the universe, or where am I, what is... Because there was only darkness, right? He was born in a lotus flower, and there was only the stem. So then Lord Brahma decided, okay, let me go inside the stem and try to find out my source, right? So what is my origin? But by this empirical kind of trying endeavor, he did not come to the end. So then he decided, okay, anyway, it doesn't help, you know. So he went back to his lotus, sat down, and then kindly the Lord appeared, and he said, tapa. So he gave them the first instruction. And Lord Brahma, who consists of pure intelligence, he immediately understood, okay, I need to make tapas. So immediately he started doing tapas without questioning, okay, which kind of tapas, what exactly do you want me, how long, and what is the purpose, and what do I gain from it, or something. No, without hesitation, Lord Brahma was actually willing to do it. And then the Lord was so pleased with him that after this time, he revealed himself fully to Lord Brahma, so that Lord Brahma then in turn expressed his gratitude by speaking this Brahma Sanghita, right, glorifying the Lord and giving us further insight. So this is the process that will help us understand who we actually are. The real process of self-realization, particularly hearing from authority, following the instructions, meaning applying the instructions, this is serving them also. If we cannot, you know, render the service physically to the Vapu, to the form of the spiritual master, we can serve the spiritual master by meditating about and trying to apply the instructions. And then we will be connected and we also become empowered. Okay, so this is what I wanted to say. What came out? I hope there was something interesting. Are there questions, comments, contributions? Kanta Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.